G'day everyone, this is Eric Perez. Welcome to what is our second in the new podcast series with the Australian Maritime Safety Authority, better known to you and me as AMSA. For those listening, this is Eric Perez, CEO of the Queensland Seafood Industry Association, speaking with Mick Bishop from AMSA. How are you, Mick?
Good, thanks, Eric. Great to be with you again, mate.
So this is the second one of these, and we're into the meat of a couple of issues. Well, one in particular for today's podcast, I should be corrected in saying, and this is on the renewals of our certificates of operations. One question people may want to ask, and this one's more an informational one, I guess, is why do we need to renew these certificates and what do they do and why are they important to AMSA? And then maybe on to how do people renew if they already haven't. Over to you, Mick.
Thanks, Eric. Yeah, the certificates of operation are very important to AMSA. So a number of vessels will have a certificate of survey, which specifies a lot about the vessel itself, the state of the vessel and what it's capable of. But also the certificate of operation is very important. And then there's probably two reasons. One, it's a way of explaining what it is you use the vessel for, because survey doesn't tell us whether they're going to use it patrolling or taking passengers out or other things. It may give us some hints, but it doesn't explain everything. But the other thing importantly in Queensland is a lot of the vessels aren't in survey. So the certificate of operation is the key certificate that we're looking at for those non-survey vessels. So we can keep a good track of them.
The renewal process, now we've dealt with these on email previously, around when do you renew, and if you renew early, what does that mean? So let's say I've got 3 months to go and I do the renewal early. What does that mean in terms of the timing of the new certificate? Does the renewal start from that key date 3 months from now? Do I get 3 months extra time? Like, how does that work?
It's very similar to your car renewals. So if you get in early, don't lose anything. So let's say your certificate is due to expire at the end of July and you apply in June, your certificate will start from the end of July, the new one. So you certainly don't lose anything for your dollars. One of the things we are encouraging people to do at the moment, though, is to try to get in early. And the reason for that, to give a little bit of history, was nearly 5 years ago, Maritime Safety Queensland came up with a great initiative, and that was free 5-year certificates of operation, free as in no pay. So that was a great opportunity for fishermen, which thousands of fishermen in Queensland took up, which was really good. And that got people on the system with certificates of operation. That time was about nearly 5 years ago. So we've now got a few thousand renewals coming up all together, particularly later this month and going into July and August. There's a big wave, if you like, coming through of renewals. So what we're saying to people is get in early and renew your certificate. You certainly won't lose anything from that process.
Let's go to probably another question here is, let's say you do renew after the final renewal date. Is there a penalty for that? Will there be some leeway here, given that this is the first time we've got a mass renewal process? Like, what does that look like if somebody's late?
Good question, Eric. Technically, to fill in the gap, you'd need to get a temporary operations certificate. But given the amount of renewals that are required and also the making sure that we can get the word out, because we recognize there's a lot of remote communities out there and not everybody knows everything. And this is why these podcasts are a great help to us. So we will be trying to take a practical approach. The other thing, too, is that when all these renewals are coming in at once, we'll be very busy processing them at our end. So, you know, it may take a bit, it may be us that takes a bit of time to get those renewals over the line. So as I've said, for this, given the special nature of this big wave coming through, we'll be as pragmatic and practical as possible.
Yeah, good to hear. Okay, couple of questions to finish this particular podcast off. We've had a lot of queries, and when we've spoken about this offline, if you have multiple vessels, about the certificate of operation renewal process. Now, how does that work if you do have multiple vessels? Are you going to get hit with multiple renewal fees, or can you put them all on the one certificate of operation?
Good question, Eric. And that's where we've got some good news, I think, for people, is that because they were free back 5 years ago, a number of people got one for each vessel. And we recognize a lot of fishermen out there operate with several boats, depending on the nature of your operation. The good news is a certificate of operation for 5 years only costs you $200. And that's when you compare that to a recreational boat license, that's very good value. The better news is that if you've got several boats, you can put them all on one certificate. So four boats, instead of costing you $800 by doing them one by one, you can put them all on one certificate. It's exactly the same. You don't lose anything, any ability to sell the boats or anything like that. It's still the same, but you can get all your boats to $200 for 5 years, which is a pretty good value these days.
Final question, more around informational material that we can get to people for this particular podcast description, is a link that takes you direct to the forms or the e-form that you might need to update your certificate of operations. The website is not as helpful as it could be now. I'm not having a crack. It's just the nature of these websites. It doesn't tend to be user-friendly. And if we can find a way to get a link to people that gets them there, maybe first click would be helpful. If that's possible, Mick, can we get something like that on the podcast description?
Yeah, definitely. I can build that link in. We did include that in the e-news that Queensland Fisheries sent out. So for people who've got that, all license holders should have got that from Queensland Fisheries. That'll have the link. But yeah, very happy. And I think this is one of the great advantages of podcasts, in that you're able to attach links and things to them, and that they're available, which is a big advance over the old days when we just talked to ABC Radio, and if you missed it, you missed it.
What I'll do as a way to promote the discussions is, not only will we get a blast out with the link to where we host our podcast on a platform called Podbean, but we will also put this out as a blog post on our site so that people can get in and read it in multiple places and have the link to these discussions as well as to sources of information. And look, if we get it wrong, and I am human and sometimes I do make mistakes, and I'm sure Mick's been accused of making a few mistakes in his past as well, but we'll leave that to one side. Let us know if you're missing information. If you need something else, you'll have our emails on every podcast that we do. And if you need us to follow up with something, just give us a hoy. It may not be instantaneously for me, as I operate as an office of one. So Mick, thank you for your time. And for those listening, I've been speaking to Mick Bishop from AMPSA. You've been listening to Eric Perez, the CEO of the Queensland Seafood Industry Association. Mick, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Eric. It's been a pleasure to be on the podcast. And as I said, I think it's a great mechanism for getting the word out to industry and getting feedback from them. So thank you.
Yeah, no worries, man. Appreciate that. So we'll catch everybody on the next podcast.